then this is about food and guests and so forth. You always feed a guest when they come to the house.
Yes.
Well, now in such a situation, suppose that there was somebody that was notoriously lazy and went around kind of mooching food off of everybody and didn't do their share. How would they handle a person that constantly was living off of the food that somebody else had worked so hard to get?
Feed him once or twice and then tell him.
And you'd really out in time that...
Yes, tell him. He should get out there and really work and, you know, get his food himself. Tell him that we've got a large family too. We can't go around feeding you, you know, where you're able to work and everything. I think an Indian person would tell him.
Would tell him. Mm-hmm. I wondered if there was any chance that they would just not serve the meal while he was there. And just,
I don't think so, because you had to eat and it was time to eat. I think they just go ahead and, you know, fed everybody, even him.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, later tell him.
Tell him that.
That we can't be feeding you all the time. I would.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I had heard a little bit of a suggestion that...
maybe they wouldn't serve any meal. I mean,
just wouldn't serve for a while, and then he'd feel that he realized he was unwanted and would leave. Yeah.
That might be true, too. Uh-huh. Maybe somebody might have done that, you know, recently.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about in the olden days when food was, you know, scarce.
Was more scarce.
Yeah.
Then did your grandmother say anything about any kinds of any times when she or her family were without food, or that the food was awfully scarce?
No, she's never said that
they were hungry, huh?
No, they've always had something to eat.
Something to eat, mm-hmm. At least, huh? I was wondering about that because...
She never told me that she was ever hungry. She never said, you know, that we were hungry and we had to do this or something. I've never heard anything like that.
Huh.
She's never talked about anybody being hungry.
I wonder.
Because I think a long time ago, like I told you before, the Indians really stuck together.
Yeah.
And if one family was, you know, they probably would help them to get food and things. Because she had a lot of brothers. And mm-hmm. That's why maybe that was the reason why, like my grandmother's and her mother and father and a whole bunch were never hungry. Because there was a lot of boys in their family. They were all looking out for one another. Mm-hmm. They always went out and hunt and always had things to eat. She never talked about being hungry, mm-hmm. ever being hungry.
Certainly, in the old days, the real old days, there must have been times when they were hungry. And I just was wondering about that.
Yeah, maybe there were sometimes, but... You know, like I tell you, my grandmother never spoke of them being hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, if something like that did happen in her family, well, I would have heard about it. She would have told me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, her telling me all these things over and over and over about the hunt that she went on and just, you know, just all the time. She'd relive it over.
Yeah.
I'd hear the same things a lot of times. And she's never said anything, you know, like that.
And do you remember anything about using, did they use salt?
Salt? I asked my mother about that. She said she never heard of using salt.
She didn't.
And like you said, there was a lot around.
Yeah.
But she never heard of... I've never asked my grandmother either. They used salt or pepper or... I mean, some kind of thing like this.
There, I was wondering if you had ever heard of any trading with salt. You know, sometimes they used to trade salt. Dude, that'll make an awful noise on the...
You know, I've never heard of them trading. Maybe they did, though, but, you know, I haven't. I've just never heard of anything like that.
Oh, Lizzie said that they didn't use salt. The old people.
Well, she's an older person, and, I mean, she should know.
Yeah.
I mean, she would know.
I wouldn't hear that they did, though.
Yeah,
if it was just,
yeah.
I really didn't know whether it was just in her family or whether it was the what the whole group did.
Yeah.
Oh, then, what about, were there any regular times of the day that they ate? And in the old days, if you know, did they eat in the mornings or always in the morning, a prepared meal? Or do you have any idea what their eating habits were as far as meals were concerned?
No, I don't. But everybody gets up in the morning and they're hungry, so naturally I think they'd eat a morning meal.
Yeah.
I know they would. And everybody probably, maybe they didn't serve right at noon, 5 o'clock. But then I think they probably did eat maybe later toward the evening, maybe twice a day.
Yeah.
I think.
That sounds logical to me.
Yes, I think so.
And
before they went to bed. Or, I mean, you know, in the evening, person would start feeling hungry. Maybe they just ate 2 meals a day.
In the days when the kids weren't going to school, I rather imagine that they would probably eat whenever the hunter or the gatherer came back in to camp, as soon as they could prepare whatever they had gotten. Don't you imagine that they...
Oh, yeah, they'd wait maybe all day until evening time before somebody brought something to eat.
Yeah. And I, don't you imagine then that there was a meal prepared or food was prepared just as soon as they came in with the catch or whatever it was, with the rabbits or the ducks or whatever it was that they had gotten ready? And there wouldn't be really an eating time, do you suppose?
No, I don't think so. But my grandmother, this is when she was little.
Yeah.
She told when they used to go out and get their, see, there's two different kinds of squirrels. There's a little short one they call the coop, and there's another one they call, it's the same thing, it looks like the coop, but it's called to fish in it. They're a little bit taller and bigger.
Oh.
There's two kinds. They look the same. They stand the same, but there's a name for each one. Well, anyway, she told about how when her mother went out on for digging for roots, she had to go further out to dig for roots, and I don't know where she left them. I think it was up near Poker Brown or somewhere, way out there, way out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the women, her and her sister probably, and my grandmother and her little sister. They were, two of them left there at this shelter. They built a small shelter, and she said that, you know, not, she was talking about food, she said that they grandmother, well, her mother got a real lot of coop, you know, fixed them all up, and she put them in a yetta, you know, those little things. She put a whole bunch of those, they cooked them the day before and made it for lunch for them to eat whenever they got hungry. So they left it, oh, I don't know how much in this basket for them to eat whenever they felt like it. So I think they ate whenever they felt hungry. And there was always something prepared like that. See, she made that yesterday. I'll say yesterday.
Yeah.
She made maybe about 12, 14, or 15 and put them in this and covered them up with grass, she said.
Covered them with grass?
Yes.
Ah.
Covered them with grass and just left them there. cover it up so the flies wouldn't get them too. Well, they didn't like flies either.
No.
Anyway, they left them there and they were all cooked. And so she said her and her sister, I guess they left early that morning and said that they were going out to gather roots. So there's your answer about food. It was already prepared for them.
For the
whole day.
Yeah. Now, who, tell me again who it was that went out and who was left behind.
Well, my grandmother, Mary Dave, and her sister, I don't know which sister. See, she had several sisters. So I don't know which one of her sisters was left in camp. And my grandmother's mother, Sis Dave, her sister went out on this. I don't know where. They probably were camping way out in the mountain, up in the hills, and left them there, left her and her sister there early that morning, and they went off digging for roots. And so her and her sister was there, and they were, you know, stayed there, and I guess played inside this little shelter that they had built. You know how they're always building shelters wherever they go for. And they were sitting there, I guess, in their shelter, just playing probably with each other, or she said combing her sister's hair, or, you know, something like this, and they were just sitting there. And so she said, and then she said they heard horses. I think she said it was a horse walking, sort of like. And so they went to see at the door, you know, who it was. And here it was, I think she said the man was her uncle.
Oh.
Her uncle had come. He had bow and arrows, she said. Now, she really mentioned this, that he had bow and arrows, and he came to the door. Or was he walking? I think he was walking. They didn't have a horse then. But he was walking. And she said he came and he went inside and sat down and asked them why they were there by themselves. And she told him, well, their mother went to get some roots. They don't know where their mother went, but that's all they knew, that their mother had gone pick roots and that they were there to wait for them. And so they were sitting there waiting. And so he came in, and she mentioned a bow and arrow. He had bows and arrows. And he took them off and sat down in their shelter with them and asked them if they ate. And I guess my grandmother told him that they already ate and that there was something there in the basket. So he was going to help himself, you know, to eat. While they were sitting there, he didn't say much. I mean, just sitting there was going to eat, and they just sat there and watched him. And so while they were sitting there quiet, she said, well, pretty soon they heard a noise, a whimpering, I forgot how she said, sound coming from around the where their shelter was, and came right to the doorway. And here was a great big isha, she said, a great big wolf. And he stood right at the door. See, he probably had smelled them.
Yes.
And came
and
there.
And food too.
Yeah, and he came there. And he stood right in the door. She said it just looked terrible. I guess the two little girls got scared. And they hung on each other. And their uncle, it was a good thing their uncle was there. He said, because she said that if he wasn't there, he said, we would have got ate up, she said. She'd always talk about that. Then her uncle reached for his bow. You know, like this, while it was standing there, said he just, as soon as he reached for it, he said it just turned and it just ran. So she said that, I think they had a horse, because now that I remember, she mentioned that her uncle said they couldn't stay there that night, they would have to go. Their mother never came, they waited for them till the sun was going to start to go down, she said. So their uncle got them together, and I think she said her sister was little, so he put her on the horse, and she walked, and her sister rode the horse while he led the horse, and they gathered what food that was in that basket. They tied it together, and they went to look for their mother. And the uncle was mad because he wondered why he left those children out there like that, and he was mad, she said. And so he took them and they walked to look for the mother. And I guess they found her at one of the camps. And I guess their uncle really balled him up for leaving those kids out there the way they were left, or else they would have, you know, some harm would have came to them if they had stayed there. And wondered why.
One of the, what kind of a camp did you mean?
Another
Indian camp?
Indian camp. See, they have different camps where they go all out, you know, to look for food.
Yeah. I wondered if you meant another Indian camp or a mining camp or something.
No, it's an Indian camp, not a mining camp.
Yeah.
Because this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so he took them there. I guess he asked the mother and father why they left them out there like that. And I don't know what was said. She didn't say what the mother said or what they said for leaving them out there. She always tells this. I've heard this, I don't know how many times. The same thing.
Do you have any idea how old she would have been?
No, she didn't say how old she was, but she remember her sister was little, because her sister couldn't walk fast, and so he put her on the horse.
I was wondering and she was had younger
to
than... walk.
She might have been maybe, well, to remember, what age would you be to start remembering things?
Well,
five. She's five.
Yeah. It depends on how deeply they're impressed on your mind.
Maybe she's older. She's older. Seven?
Yeah.
Because it really was impressed on her mind to think about this one thing that, you know, all the time, the way that their mother left him out there. But she never thought anything about her why, you know, her mother left her out there. That they went for roots, and the little girl probably was slow. She couldn't walk fast, so they just told them to stay there till we came back. So I don't know what they would have done when night came. Probably went to bed. I mean, laid down, you know, and they didn't have any fire or anything. But then they had to build fire a lot in those days. They kept their fire going all night and counted these things. They said Lovelock used to have a lot of these. The brush wolves, I guess. Great big ones. She said they were pretty terrible looking things.
And they really definitely knew the difference between the wolves and the coyotes.
Yes, they did. She said they had the black, she always say the black ania, you know, the black mane sort of like in the back. She said they knew the difference.
Yeah.
Because they called them that. They had the name for them.
Yes.
That was the Isha, they called them. That's the wolf.
That's the older brother.
Yeah, that's the older brother. So I think they did have food, like I told you, that the mother prepared food for them before she left. So maybe they ate whenever they were hungry, especially the kids, if they felt hungry, maybe before noon or after. I think they ate all the time when they had food.
I've also heard that they, when they fixed pine nut soup at night, for the night meal, they would divide it up into the little individual baskets. You know, each person had their own little basket, didn't they? And then that they were supposed to save part of that for their breakfast in the morning. Did you ever hear them talk about anything like that?
Yeah, my grandmother often said that because of the, well, we didn't have it all the time, see? That was when I was a girl.
Yeah.
See, she didn't make pine nut soup every day because we didn't have to eat that every day. I mean, you know, so it was a specialty that my grandmother made, a pine nut soup. And it was only made around when we got the pine nuts. That was around, you know, the end part of the year. And, but she would tell us to save some for morning. Maybe she learned that from a long time ago, too.
To save some for morning.
So we'd eat part of it, and we keep it, especially toward the fall around. When it started to freeze, things started to freeze around November, December. She'd make it, and then she'd say, well, save some of it tomorrow. We'll eat it like ice cream. So we'd put it in a little tin pot or anything, and we'd put it outside so it could freeze. And we'd eat that in the morning.
Frozen.
You eat it like, you eat it with Indian bread a lot when it's, well, it's still, you know, you dunk your bread in it.
Dunk your bread in it.
Yeah, and eat it.
Oh, really?
That's how we ate it. No pepper and salt or anything on it. Just that with Indian bread. Just, you know, ate it.
When you had sugar, did you put sugar
on it? No. I never did put sugar, and I don't like sugar in it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Tastes very good.
It tastes best just like
just the way it is.
Yes, it's got a good enough flavor. Mm-hmm.
So that didn't need salt.
Yeah.
That tasted all right, just the way it was.
And I've never heard them attempting to salt meat that they're cooking either, in over the fire. Like, you never hear, you know, when they're roasting meat, you never hear of them
putting salt on it
or trying to.
No. Uh-huh. She'd often tell about when they would go out hunting, like I told you, they'd go out hunting. Well, she said when they'd kill a deer, she said all of her brothers would get the rib parts of the deer, and she said they'd build a great big fire, you know, mm-hmm. big fire, and she said they'd get these great big boulders, rock boulders, and they'd stand them from around the fire like this, mm-hmm. and she said they'd barbecue there. Well, now you call it barbecue. Mm-hmm. Well, they'd stand their ribs against the other rocks, and they'd build this big fire, and she said it would get nice and... Oh, she said it had a real good flavor. Mm-hmm. She said that's the way they ate the ribs. Her brothers would, that was their, what they liked to eat. So when they did, well, they'd get that part and they'd put it all around the fire, she said. Put big boulders, she'd big great big rock, she said. And they'd put it against it, lean it up, and fire, and turn it around, she said. They'd eat that.
That's the way venison ribs are the best, is broiled or barbecued or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they'd be pretty hard to cut to put into anything.
Yeah, so that's why they probably cook them that way. Mm-hmm. Then they'd cook, I guess, the whole lot and how it had it for the next day, too, or whenever they felt hungry.
And then when... was it pretty regularly that they prayed over their food for? Did you people do it for like a saying grace or? I mean, the Indian form of saying grace.
Yeah. You're supposed to pray every day. You know, every day.
Is it the morning prayer, or the prayer over the food, or a night prayer, or middle of the day prayer, or what?
Well, anytime, whenever they felt like praying for something that they, you know, if they felt like they had to say one, well, they said it. They said a prayer.
It wasn't anything that
Early in the morning, though, you had to pray. You have to in the mornings, before the sun comes up, or when the sun is just beginning to come up. You pray every day. Pray for everyone in your family every day.
Are those learned prayers, or is it just like talking to God?
Well,
I mean, you know, like,
well, you learn it by listening to your mother. I mean, that's
word for word.
You
say the prayer word for word, or just talking. You know what I mean? We have, in the Christian religion, we have a lot of prayers that you memorize and say. Lots of times you don't even know what they mean.
Like the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, sure.
That.
Yeah. But I was wondering if those prayers were prayers that were memorized or just the individual that said them, however they felt like saying them.
Yeah, I think so. How they felt like saying them, I think they said them. But then you learn things just like anything else. You pick up something from somebody, like songs, like say Indian songs. They pick up from each other. Yeah. They memorize the songs. Maybe they do the same thing in prayers too. But only thing, you have a different family from somebody else, so you'd say so and so and. I mean, you know, what if you had to pray for different members of your family.
Whatever their need was.
Yeah. you would know your mm-hmm. family's needs. So well, maybe the prayers weren't really the same. I think they were different.
And I was thinking about song prayers. I wonder if that one of Jack Wilson's was almost a song prayer, wasn't it? That.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there were any other song prayers.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
You don't ever remember hearing of it?
No.
I haven't heard of any either.
I've never heard of any.
You remember when they were eating in those, in the baskets? Do you ever remember them talking about washing the baskets after they got through eating?
No. I've never heard it mentioned.
I'm wondering how they...
She didn't say anything.
And if they didn't wash them, or if they did wash them, who did it? Did everybody do his own, or... I'm just trying to visualize this whole meal, including washing the dishes, as we'd have to do.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe the mother did it.
But she surely wouldn't have had a dishpan.
No.
And they wouldn't necessarily have been by a running stream, either.
No. They did. Well, imagine our country. It's so desert. I mean,
yeah.
You don't see streams. You walk out here,
yeah.
You don't see no stream run across the desert as where it would be at Lake Tahoe or someplace like that.
So a lot of the...
But they always camp where there was water.
Yeah.
Like a spring. Mostly springs and, well, maybe the river, Humboldt River, where they, you know, camped all around.
Do you know any other... we have talked about some of the taboos on foods, you know, like women not eating meat when they were menstruating and that sort of thing, and
mm-hmm.
when the babies were born. Were there any other taboos that you can think of? Taboos that men maybe, like, did they have to... could they eat all kinds of meat, no matter what, at any time? Was there ever a time when they couldn't eat some meats?
I've never heard of anything like when they shouldn't. I forgot to ask Bertie that if the... I think she said the men don't eat anything either. When they have their babies.
When they have their babies, huh?
I don't know whether I asked her or not. Can't remember.
Yeah. Well, then another thing about eating, you know what I mean, to fast, don't you? To go without eating at all.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever hear about whether the men who were going to be doctors ever fasted? Like some of the tribes, they
do,
you know.
Yeah, they do. I've heard of that.
But I was wondering if...
But I don't know. I don't know.
Never
I couldn't tell you.
I'll have to ask.
Ask Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
She might know.
I hadn't thought of it until I was reading through this list of things here.
Uh-huh.
So I will ask the next time I see her. I was wondering if you had ever heard of anything like that. Did your grandmother ever tell you about... using little loops of willow or that sedge grass as a kind of little spoon? Did she ever talk about weaving spoons or did they always just eat with their
finger.
They ate with their finger a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
She never mentioned spoons.
I was wondering if she did anything about spoons.
About
making them or anything.
Maybe they did later, like you'd said in your book.
Yeah. I found that in two places. quite where they had copied. And I was wondering if she had said anything about it.
No, she didn't say anything about spoons or...
This next bunch of the thing on the list here, it has to do with water and thirst. Do you remember them talking about anything that would have to do with the use of water? Because they had to they would have to carry it in the big jugs, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And were they, for instance, afraid of getting water in any one place that you can remember of? Or?
No, she never said all water was their life,
yeah.
She said, my grandmother did. That was the thing that ran you from day to day.
Yeah.
Without water, you could never live.
Yeah.
You would die. So water was one of the Indians' sacred things,
mm-hmm.
too. But they always prayed to the water.
They prayed to the water, too, yeah.
That was always... And you know, when you get sick, too, that's the thing you turn to is water. Water and the sun. They always have water to sprinkle you with when something happens or anything.
Oh, so
they
yeah.
use water.
And they bathe. I mean, bathing
yes.
is part of this thing, too,
uh-huh.
isn't it?
So she said that water was one of our main things. Water was... Well, water's their life. She said without water, they would die. So they always prayed to the water when they drank it.
When they drank it?
Mm-hmm. Or when they went out to the hills, or when they first drink that mountain water, you pray to the water.
Yeah, you tell them about that.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really thought about praying to the water, for instance, like we have right around here. I wonder, of course, in those days, why the water wasn't contaminated like it is now, and they probably just drank it. But I was wondering if they would have prayed to this valley water.
Well, maybe it was clear in those days and it was real good water, but now you look at it, it's just...
Well, the Humboldt hasn't always been clear. It's had a reputation of being pretty bad sometimes.
Well, maybe they drank in streams. They
yeah.
got their water from a stream nearby or something, you know, like that. So I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't either. This is about saving the fat off when they're skinning rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And the fat is the little gobs of fat that are that appear on the skin after you've gotten the skin off of the rabbit. And they pluck that off, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then they save it, and later they cook it and eat it.
They eat it like that?
Yeah. Sometimes they, like my mother said, her grandfather would take it. Sometimes he'd stick it in his mouth and eat it, chew on it.
Right while it's raw?
Yes, the
oh.
fat.
Uh-huh.
It's greasy. It's real greasy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
that. It's, uh-huh. it's not all over the hide. It's just
yeah.
on some parts.
Yeah.
You know, when you're skinning it,
yeah.
maybe there's more fat in the back of the neck.
Right.
is
yeah.
where it's always.
Yeah,
right, right in the back
yeah.
here.
Right.
Or over here sometimes yeah. it's... You see it, and they just take it off and they save it. She said her grandfather steal his mouth and he'd eat it.
I see, I told him.
Yes, skinning it.
I wonder if they used any of that fat to mix with their red paint.
My grandmother said that they did do that. They did mix the deer fat. She said it was deer fat.
Deer fat.
Or some... fat they moved fixed it to mix it with their red paint to make it greasy, she
yeah.
said. And then they use that for their hands too, she said.
Yeah.
And they use that the marl too of the deer.
Oh, to mix with the red paint?
I think so, because she said that was real greasy.
Yeah,
that's a real greasy thing. She said they used that her father would take that out and they'd use that.
To mix, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
It was real, if you've seen it, it's sure. Real fine sort of a grease.
Right.
And they used that, she said.
Then, as long as we're talking about red paint, I wonder if we could list some of the things that they used red paint for. Did you ever see it used for, or hear of it used for babies when their bottoms were chafed? And
no, I've never heard of that.
Uh-huh. And then, when they used it on their hands, they must have used it then because their hands were chapped, huh?
Yeah, and they used it on their hair, the grease and stuff. They used that on their hair, too.
Oh, they used the grease on their hair.
Uh-huh. They kept their hair nice and shiny, my grandmother said.
Yeah.
They put it on their hair, she said.
And that probably
she said it made their hair grow long, too, she said, they believed. You know, it made their hair thick and long because it was greasy.
Huh. I wonder.
She said her father used to do that to all of the kids. Get this and go from one to the other and rub it on them and fix their, put it on their hair and do that to all his children, she said.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be the rendered fat, you think it would be?
I don't know. That's all she said, you know, was that they use that for, you know, but she never said what kind or what part.
Well, of course, by that time, there were probably cows, and they probably had some beef fat, too.
Maybe they did.
Well, that's interesting. And you know, another thing that grease would have done, which was a problem that everybody, Indians and whites, both had before they got the insecticides, was lice of any kind. Everybody
well, they
had.
Probably had lice.
Yeah, sure. Most of my people
you heard
did,
of.
Too.
Yeah, you heard of them. Well, later years, you know how they'd pussy one another, look in their hair
to
get all the bugs out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that grease probably would help to control that, too.
Yeah, probably did. Probably, yeah.
And, the ticks.
Getting on. Yeah.
They must have
getting
had a real problem
them.
With ticks.
They did. They'd get on them. They wouldn't even know that they crawled on them.
Right.
And then they'd find them on their bodies.
Yeah.
Said, and my grandmother said they'd get them out.
Now, I wondered if they had any tricks about getting them out.
No, they just plucked them off and I guess pulled the head out.
Yeah.
The head of the...
Because that could... Of the, of
yeah, because the they bury tick. Their you know, head know. Into your skin. Your
yeah.
head... And then later on, they get real big, and they get
that's
under your skin.
Yeah.
They get under your skin.
Yeah.
And she said, but they, I don't think anybody ever got real bad with it, where it would get under the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But she did tell how they did grow on them a certain place, and they never would feel it crawl on them.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I've been
she, she's heard, time. Yeah, she's heard of that. You know, they'd find them on their bodies, but they'd always get them off, get them out.
Uh-huh.
They'd get the ticks out.
What are ticks called, you know?
I don't... My mother knows.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of it right now. I've heard of them, too.
I've had Silver out here, you know, out in the brush. And
yeah.
The other day, she was holding her head to the side, and I had to take her into the vet, and her whole ear was just full of ticks.
Oh.
So there's still plenty of ticks around.
Yeah.
Of course, they can make you pretty sick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should think ticks would have been quite a problem with them being in the brush as much as they were. However, it may be that the sheep have brought them in even more than they used to be.
Than they used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. She never mentioned, yeah, they did get those things on them, though, because she did talk about it being on her sister.
Uh-huh.
And they had to take it out.
Well, my kids have gotten ticks when they're out in the hills lots of times. We have to watch them.
Yeah, when you come out, especially if you've been way out in the hills and then you come home, you take a bath, and you could tell, just, you know, you could see where they're at. I know my boy had one on his head. We didn't even know it was on his head until my husband was, he was standing in front of him. He was, you know, talking to somebody and just touching his head like this, and here this tick was already, had his head embedded in his skin. And so he pulled it out, and later I got a pin and dug it out, dug my head out, and dumped peroxide on it.
And I think we've talked an awful lot about clothing, as much as we know about it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You can think of anything else about clothing. We haven't talked very much about men's clothing, but I don't know that we know anything about it. Did your grandmother ever tell anything about any kinds of clothes that the old people might have worn? Were you and I talking about beaver?
Beaver?
Yeah, whether they, did she talk about using beaver?
Yeah, they trapped all kinds. Remember my mother was telling you they trapped all kinds of hides and things. Beaver hides and all kinds of animals. They use the pelts of.
Oh, I know something else I was going to ask. There was a book written just a little bit over 100 years ago, and this man was telling about an otter, piece of an otter skin that that one of the captains wore around his head, and this was the symbol of his being a captain. Do you ever remember anything that would be like that?
No.
See, what we're this particular section is on ornaments.
Yeah.
And another thing, did you ever hear, or did she ever tell you about them piercing their noses?
Yeah.
And what was it for, and why did you?
She didn't say for what for or anything. They just did it.
It wasn't.
I haven't heard anything unless you can mention something that.
Someplace I picked up this story that they pierced their noses to keep from getting sick. You didn't tell that.
No.
But they did it to the little children to keep them from getting sick.
No, I haven't heard anything like that.
Did your grandmother tell you about anybody who had their noses pierced?
Yeah, one of the I think one of the captains, or so you call them, had their nose pierced.
You don't know which one?
No.
Or why? I wondered whether it was for decoration or to help them, you know, like I said about being sick and so forth.
Yeah, no. I know they pierced their ear.
They pierced
had holes in their ear.
The men... too.
The men too, and the women too.
Oh, well, what did they? Was there a difference in the kind, whatever they hung in their ears, the women and the men?
Well, she said they just put pieces of buckskin through their ear. My grandmother said they just did. I don't know. They just did that, I guess. She didn't say what for. Not to wear a pretty earring or anything. It's just that it's just the way that they did. They just made holes in their ear. She said her grandmother had holes in her ear and had a buckskin through it. Even her grandfather, some of the men had holes in their ear. They wore pieces of buckskin through it, she said. But she didn't say what for. Maybe they just did that.
Yeah, just for decoration or just... What about tattooing?
Well, yeah, my grandmother talked about tattooing. They used to tattoo their faces and everything.
Yeah.
And their arms and their legs even.
Well,
mostly it was their face.
Faces.
And they tattooed.
This didn't have any meaning, did it?
No, they just did that. My grandmother has just three dots.
Up between her eyes, on her forehead.
Yeah, on her forehead. And then she had one on her face, on her cheek. It was a, I don't know, some kind of a Indian design.
Uh-huh.
Just a, like that.
A little,
like
a little
Z.
Zigzag.
Yeah,
a little
zigzag,
huh?
Something like a Z she had on her face. On her cheek she had it tattooed. And she had one on her chin.
A dot or a...
It was a
line,
a thing like that, like a triangle almost.
Like a triangle.
She had it on her chin.
Oh, did she tell you how they did it?
No, she didn't tell me how they did it. All I did was just seen her that way.
Yeah, because apparently some of the kids, when they were over at Stewart, used to do it to each other too. And on their arms especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't go to Stewart, my grandmother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She didn't go to school, except to Sarah Winnemucca school when she had it here for a while.
Oh, she did.
She went to her school.
She did go to her school.
Uh-huh. Her aunt.
So, you know, that's a thing that we have to, we haven't talked about. Do you know where that school was, where it was located?
Well, no. She said if, on a ranch somewhere. It was on a ranch.
Wonder how we could find out where it was.
I think the school is... I don't know whether the school is still standing or not. It's just a one little one-room building.
Yeah.
And she said, I think it was still standing. They had it on a ranch somewhere.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
And she taught school there. She went to school... from Sarah's school for a while.
Uh-huh.
The school that Sarah taught.
I wonder.
See, Sarah was her aunt, I think.
She
said Sarah was her aunt.
I think it's kind of an aunt cousin.
Yes, something like that. She called her Pitu, she said.
She did.
That was her aunt.
Uh-huh.
But Sarah picked her and her sister, another sister of hers, to always do things for her. She said she took them with her when she went somewhere, on the train and or anywhere. She said that Sarah took my grandmother and is her sister with her when they went somewhere. She made them do things in front of people. See, Sarah was a pretty smart lady.
Yeah.
And she charged the people for watching them do something. She said she'd make them get berries too, and she'd make them sell it. You know, when the train would come and stop through Lovelock, she said she'd sweet berries she'd gather. They'd gather them. She said they'd sell them. Sarah made them sell them to the people in the train when they stopped. You know, stopped here. Anything to make money, I guess in those days. And the people would give them dimes. She said quarters and things like that for the berries.
What did they do? The little kids go through the train? Or
yes, Sarah made them sell it to the people. I guess she was there. She made them carry it around, I guess. And I don't know how they what they sold them in or what, but my grandmother would tell how Sarah used to make them do that. She said Sarah used to make them sing. She taught them a song, and she said she would make them sing in front of people.
Oh.
And then they'd give them money, but of course Sarah took all the kids. She took care of the money.
She took care of the money.
Yeah. See, she was, you know, doing all that sort of thing already, but I don't think anybody else thought of doing.
Yeah.
She picked it up from the white people, so she did that to her.
She was quite a businesswoman, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was, and she did that to her.
Do you have any idea how long she taught that school?
I don't know how long she taught that school, but my grandmother said that, you know, she learned how to write her name through Sarah. Sarah's the one that taught her how to write her name. So my grandmother could write her name, and that was all she could do was write her name.
Mm-hmm.
And she...
I've heard people say that Sarah was part white, but I'm sure she wasn't.
No,
she
wasn't. She was a full-blooded Paiute Indian woman.
That's what I thought.
She wasn't white at all.
Because, after all, the white people hadn't There were hardly any white people, whatever, in the country when she was born.
No, there wasn't.
And so...
But later, you know, when they started coming, then the men, they started raping the Indian women, the men's, these soldiers, they said. The soldiers, the one that did that.
Right.
They did that to the women. Said they just, you know, raped them. That's
catch
how come some of these half-breeds were, you know.
So early.
Yeah.
Just as soon as the soldiers got here.
Yeah, they're the ones that did it. They said they were mean.
Yeah.
They've talked about them lots of times, how mean they were.
Yeah, and they didn't have any defense against them, because if an Indian went out and killed a soldier, why, that would really start something, wouldn't
it? Yeah, they said they were really mean, the soldiers were. They were pretty mean.
It's really a wonder that there are any full-blooded Indians left, and there may not be.
What do you mean, any full-blooded Indians?
Well, with this long a time, I'm surprised that almost all the Indians
aren't all half-breeds. You mean
portion? Yeah, part white. I mean,
well,
we have
in our colony, we have some half-breeds.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I'll bet there's quarter breeds.
My cousin has a few kids that are half breeds and part Chinese. She's part Chinese.
Is she? I wondered. Her eyes are so beautiful. I just think that they're just.
She's part Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Her kids are a mixture of everything. Spanish, I think, with the curly hair. And
it certainly is a beautiful mixture, I must say.
She has a half-breed white boy.
Oh, she does?
The little boy, the baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We call him Taibonats. He's got an Indian name.
Taibonats.
It's a white boy.
You mean that little fellow we had out there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's full-blooded Paiutes. I am.
Are you? I kind of had a notion maybe your mother was part white.
No, she's isn't. Not. Her body is real light.
Uh-huh.
And my little girl, when they see her take a bath, you know, her face is so brown and her hands are so brown.
Uh-huh.
But her body is just white like yours.
Uh-huh.
It's just white.
Uh-huh.
And she says, Grandma, they said, you're Indian. Your face is Indian. Your hands are Indian, but you've got a white man's body, they tell her. Grandma's a part white, they said. But she wasn't. She's a full-blooded Indian. Whereas I'm dark all over.
Yeah.
Same color.
Oh, I've noticed that
some Indians are real light.
Yeah, until they get sunburned.
Uh-huh.
They get tanned.
But their body is real light.
Yeah.
Just you know, real white.
I've noticed that. I've been surprised.
And they say an Indian don't get sunburned, but they do.
Sure.
Some of them do. I don't.
No.
I'm one of those rare ones.
But
I could stay in the hot sun, you know, sit right out there, and never a blister pop up on your skin or start turning red and start paining in any way.
It doesn't
bother me at all.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Or my cousin or somebody stays out.
But you...
It starts
getting darker.
I get dark.
Yeah.
I get real dark.
But
almost like a coon, almost. I mean, you know, just really get dark. I just get darker.
Uh-huh. Yes, I've noticed a lot of times, especially little babies, they're kind of cream-colored. In fact, I think I mentioned in my book that about the Indians' cream-colored babies, because I wanted to emphasize that a lot of the darkness was because of being out and tanned.
Yeah,
really.
It's the sun that really
tans them.
Really does. In the winter, it goes away.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. It comes back again when it's hot. Some Indians, they get real, real hot, and they turn sort of red.
Do they?
Their skin turns they look reddish, not brown or black, just reddish color, sort of like under their skin turns like that.
I was wondering if they had to put grease on themselves to keep from chapping out in the sun. Now you wouldn't, because you'd, because your skin just doesn't chap. Like
no,
that.
Only when I was washing dishes, I almost ruined my hands.
Yeah,
it got real.
I noticed. Oh, I
they
that
just
first day.
Peeled, and now they're all well again. See, so. But I get in a sunny. I don't blister or anything.
It doesn't hurt your skin.
No.
It isn't painful to you.
It isn't painful.
It isn't painful to me if I have grease on me. But, oh, gosh, if I don't have grease or something to lubricate my skin afterwards, I'm miserable.
Oh, it doesn't bother me at all.
I was wondering if they ever, some individual people ever had to put some kind of grease on them themselves.
I don't know. The Indian people were always putting things on them, so... Maybe they did.
Uh-huh.
Put something on them.
Well, then there's the stone industry, which is chipping and pecking and grinding stones, but I don't think that we know much about that.
No.
And iron and steel industry, we don't know much about that. Yeah, here, now we come over to structures here, and this has to do with dwellings. And I just feel sure that there must be more things that we can learn by asking about these cattail houses and willow houses and grass houses. You never saw inside of one that anybody was living in, did you?
No, I've never seen anything like that.
I would like to try to visualize what was happening inside the house. As you remember, we were talking about them burning up, right? Early, and we talked about how difficult it must have been to keep that the grass that they piled in there that they slept on from burning up. And I actually was wondering where people slept, if anybody either wanted or had any privacy, or did they sleep with their feet toward the fire, or their heads toward the fire, or did they sleep just around the edge like this, or anything? Where they keep their baskets, and where they keep their water. Even to keep water from freezing to me seems like a monumental task in those days.
Yeah.
Well,
they probably kept them on the inside.
Yeah.
They had a fire going all night.
They have to have a fire going all night.
An Indian never sleep with his head, he sleeps with his feet toward the sun, the way the sun comes up. So you can imagine how they're sleeping.
You hit on something. Now this is, I know that there must be some, an Indian sleeps with his feet toward the sun?
Yeah.
Toward the coming up sun?
Yeah, I don't know how to tell you. See, you don't sleep the way the sun goes. When the sun comes up, you don't sleep the way the sun goes. Now, the sun goes down that way, doesn't it? Well, you don't sleep. I don't think you sleep with your feet, with your head laying, with your head up here, and then when the sun comes up this way. You have to sleep the sideways?
Crossways? To the path of the sun.
Huh? Uh-huh. Or you have to sleep with your head up the way the sun comes up. But you never sleep with your feet. And with your head, with your body facing the sun, like I'd lay here, my head here, and the sun comes up here every morning.
Yeah.
Well, I don't put my my feet that way or toward the sun.
You don't put your feet to the east then, huh?
No. An Indian never does.
Really?
Because they believe that if you do, you can go with the sun. See, your sun goes down at night.
Yes.
Well, we know now it just goes around the earth and comes back.
Yeah.
But the Indians believe if you die, I mean, you would die, and that he can take your spirits to the other side of the world.
If you
sleep that way all the time or something. Because that's the way, when a person dies here, the sun takes your spirit with you, well, just like taking it with you and dropping it off somewhere. You know, taking it from where you're at, from here.
Take it along
with you.
I know that.
So they say when an Indian person gets sick, they get worse at night, in the evening times.
Yeah.
After the sun goes down. But as soon as the sun comes up, maybe it's because they believe so much in the sun.
Yeah. Well, actually, sick people do generally get worse toward the end of the day.
And well, so see, now there's a...
And the sun, don't they pray?
Why don't you ask